Good evening. It's especially a good evening, I suspect, for six young adults who are done, finished with high school. Many of us can fondly remember this time in our lives. Seems like no more than 70, 80 years ago that we were going through that stage of life that you are. Congratulations. You know, like the rest of us, some of you had experiences that you will fondly cherish and miss. And then there's those like me. I never went back. It was one of the happiest days in my life. And that's just because we're all different, and that's okay. But we do want to congratulate you. And we're discussing, congregations have traditions. Traditions can be good, can't they? Yeah, families, we're a family, we have traditions, and one of the things we came here a little less than 3 years ago was the tradition of assembling tonight, breaking the bread of life and good food that fills our carnal bodies. We polled the six young people who are finished with high school and said, what do you want to do? Gave them a couple of choices. Do you like a long sermon to honor your graduation? Or would you like a medium sermon? Made a mistake of putting other. But it was a tie. Three said a short sermon. Three said, you don't need to say anything. So I'm going to go with the short little talk, not really a sermon. You know, it's interesting when you think about how important it was to those of us when we got to where these six young adults are. It was huge in my life. I felt like the previous 4 years lasted 8, 9, or 10 years. Time just seemed to go slowly at that stage of life. And to finally get to that point with the graduation, all the recognition, I felt like I was almost entering middle age. All the things that you had done, little did you know that it's just the beginning, really, of your adult life. I like facts and figures, don't like math, I don't like totaling them, but it was interesting what I saw about typically for you young people, this is what occurred. You've been in school now for 2,160 days. Some of us, maybe it was closer to 2,500 days because of summer school and that type of thing. You've spent 12,960 hours in classes. You believe that, don't you? Seems like at least that. That translates into 777,600 minutes. So far, you've lived approximately 18 years. You've been around 216 months. You've been breathing 936 weeks. You've been going through the motions for 6,552 days. You've been here for 157,248 hours. You've been taking up space for 9,434,880 minutes. You slept 52,500 hours. You've watched TV 12,173 hours. You spent 7,488 hours eating. And if you live the average lifespan of 70 years, or as the Bible says, 70, you'll sleep 24 years, work 14 years, play 8 years, eat 6 years, unless you're like me, make 7.5, drive 5 years, talk 4 years, that's for the guys, I won't go into the other statistic, that statistic for the women. Go to school 3 years, be sick 3 years, study and read 3 years. You know, you were born in the early 90s. Many people here remember that occasion for you, because all of you, well, five have been here all your life, one since he was four. You were wrinkled, red, bald, toothless, could hardly see, crying, complaining, had no clothes on. Except for the clothing, some of us are pretty close to that today. You've come a long way. You really have reached a milestone in your life. But this is not the end. It's really just the beginning in a sense of your coming into adulthood. So it is an important crossroads in your life. You prepared to graduate and finish high school, that part of your secular education. And you've made it. You're done with that, and each one of you is going to be moving on for some additional preparation for life in this secular world. You had a lot of the foundations that you need in order to take care of yourself as a responsible adult, to get through all the things you have to do in the real world here, this temporary physical life. And in thinking, what do you say to people at your stage of life? There's so many things that are said. But that's where the long sermon, or maybe even the medium one, and you didn't give me that privilege. So we just want to briefly share a few thoughts about, are you prepared? And this is something not just for you six, for all of us to recall for ourselves again. Are we prepared to graduate into eternal life? We put so much emphasis on our graduation, properly so. It's important. A lot of work has been involved in that. You've learned key essential elements that you need in order to be a responsible adult, a responsible family person, and hopefully maybe a responsible parent, grandparent, a citizen, a member of a church. But we always need to recognize that there's something even more important than preparation for this life. And that's to be prepared for eternal life. Because we are going to exist beyond high school, behind any continuing education or trade, beyond whatever we do in this physical world. And we don't know how much time we have. When I was 18, I was sure I had a long life, and I've been blessed. I've lived longer than a lot of people. I know people who were not privileged to have as much, and life is like this vapor, and you just can't grab on to it. So make the decision to have a true foundation for your life, thinking eternally. John Adams said, there are two types of education. One should teach us how to make a living, and the other should teach us how to live. In a sense, since we're thinking about education, there are two kinds of courses in life. There's the required courses, and there's also the elective courses. How many of you preferred the elective courses to the required courses, even beyond our graduates? Wow, recess, lunch, PE, those types of things. In a sense, the required courses for life are life itself. None of you chose, none of you six, like the rest of us, chose to come into this life, did you? No. You had no choice in it. You didn't decide when you would be born or into what situation, and life's not fair, is it? Some are born into a wonderful situation. Others are not. They're just born into a situation. No one chose their parents. No one really got to choose that. Sometimes parents chose you. And then death. 1 Corinthians 15, 22. In Adam, all die. All of us, every one of us, face the end of our physical life. Unless the Lord comes again while we yet breathe. And then we will not experience that. But that is one of the required lessons in life. All must walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Then there's the elective courses. You get to choose. One, to be saved or to be lost. I found this little sentence. Nature forms us. Sin deforms us. School informs us, but only Christ transforms us. And that's the most important one, is to take the opportunity to be transformed by Jesus Christ. Another elective is to either be spiritual or to be carnal. To be safe in God's will, or to make it on our own will. So there's just a few scriptures I would like you to look at with me. I thought about this a long time. I thought about things I've said in similar occasions and thought about a short lesson. So there's foundations for life. What is it? I can give you a lot of things. You've already received some, and pay attention to the lessons you've already learned. Some of them in the school systems. And you've been educated different ways: homeschool, private Christian, public schools, different things. You all had access to information. Your generation, more than certainly mine, has access in an easy way to more information than we ever did. The internet and Google. Pay attention to what you've learned by those people who have wisdom. Pay attention to the spiritual people who have been in your lives. Pay attention to those who love you and learn those lessons. But thinking about the foundation for life, if you would, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, I'm going to notice verses 10 through 17. This was a charge to Timothy, was probably maybe very close to your age. Again, you're at such a neat age. You still have youth. You're still sharp. You still have energy. You're bright. Your minds are clear. And yet, you have so much ahead of you. You have access to such a potentially wonderful life, just like Timothy. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, sufferings, what kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, and the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Listen to this, young people. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make you wise for salvation through Christ, through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correction, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I want to encourage you, when you look at the foundation to build your life, and that's all you have now, is this, you're looking for the firm foundation. We've equipped you. Your parents have, your grandparents, your loved ones, through whatever school system that you've been involved in a sense, but you need a better foundation than they were able to give you if it was not from this. Pay attention to this more than any other thing. This is the firm foundation to build the rest of your life. You're at a point in your life where you now have the maturity to make some real decisions, not based on someone else's decisions for you, but based on your own convictions. You can't inherit the faith of parents and grandparents. You can see it, you can observe it, you can be taught. But now you've come to a maturity where you can really begin to grasp this and deal with this, and I encourage you to do it. Pay attention in reading that. Bios. All of you have been here exposed to preaching and teaching, different levels of involvement with it, but this is what you've been exposed to from the time you're young. Think about what a blessing that is. Not everyone that's born into this world was blessed to be born into a situation that there would be people in your lives who would proclaim God's word to you, who would open up the word with you and it's got into your heads. It's gone into your minds and it's been planted. For some of you have made a decision to let it grow within your hearts. And just as it was important to Paul and to Timothy, that's the most important thing. That's the most important thing for you to have as a foundation. If we look over at Colossians 3, 1 through 4. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above. And that's what I'm trying to encourage you to do now more than ever. Statistics go against young people remaining involved with the Lord's church. Statistically, the majority after a time go. And I want to say, call yourself to this. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated and at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with Him on glory. The only way you will have that foundation to have a successful life in Christ and eternal life is based on this. This is the foundation for your life. This is where your goals should come from. Your goals, I would encourage you, and many others would, need to go beyond just the next year, 2 years, 4 years, how you're going to prepare yourself to live in the secular world that we all live in. Set your goals beyond this life. Set your goals into eternal life and encourage others to do the same thing. And this is the foundation upon which you will build that. You can't lay on any other foundation that'll work. I want to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 11. Well, I'm going to begin at 10. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one of you should be careful how he builds. When you're looking at your life, pay attention, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation, using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. The only thing that is going to survive are the things built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, Him crucified, and the gospel that is the power to say. That's the foundation for you to consider. More than anything else that I think that I could say, looking at my life and looking at the lives of others, is that those who will let Jesus Christ be the foundation for your life, you will succeed. Oh, your success may not be measured in gold and silver and those type of things, but when the Lord comes again, those things are not going to last. None of the physical things of success are going to last. Careers are going to fade away. Eternal life is just that, eternal life. As you continue preparation for your life, just prioritize. Take a very real second look at Jesus Christ and how you will live your life. For those who have decided to be disciples, don't turn away. Don't rely on the structure that you've been exposed to. Really decide for yourself what it means to have Jesus Christ as the foundation, as your Lord. Build on that. And He will bless you. And He will bless you in this life with more peace and more joy. He won't protect you from every bad thing, but He will see you through it. Then just focusing on the things that bring the physical blessings. It's the most important is Jesus Christ. For all of us, isn't it true? Those of us who've been out of school for years and years and years, and there are some of you who are older than me still, I'm glad for that. We look at our life and we see what worked and what faded away. The things eternal are what matter. Even you young people, you see contemporaries and those maybe not that much older than you who have fame and wealth, and yet their misery. They're in and out of jail and drug addiction, and their lives fall apart. It's just not worth that. But think of the eternal things, and He will provide you with everything that you need. It is the reason that I live. I want to encourage you to do that as well. We're going to do some other things to honor these young people. But we want to encourage, if anyone is not a disciple of Jesus Christ, we want to encourage you to take a serious look at Jesus Christ, God incarnate. Because of a holy, righteous God, He extended His grace to us. And we reach a certain point of maturity where we can grasp that and grasp that our sin has torn apart our relationship. We can grasp that this holy God cannot tolerate sin and that it separates us. And we can begin to grasp this amazing love, this grace that was extended through Jesus Christ, because God wants us. He wants us in relationship. He wants us as part of this body, this called out group who are different than the world, whose goals are eternal, whose foundation is Jesus Christ. All spiritual blessings are in Jesus Christ. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We encourage you to either make that decision and say, I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I want to be a Christian. Take up my cross and die to myself. We encourage you to do that and have your faith lead you to death, to die, to be buried, and to be resurrected, to walk a new life with Jesus as your foundation. Or to say, I need to explore that more, and let us know that you want to take a look at that and find out whether what we are saying is true. If you have any need, before we continue with our other activities, we want to encourage you in song to let us hear what that need is.